Thank you, Bridget. So this morning, we're kind of having a three-part to the main presentation. I'm going to talk a little bit, I'm going to talk a little bit about the background and the development of the transportation and health tool, how it went through a process of consultation with subject matter experts from across both sectors. Talk a little bit about what kind of the technical content is within the tool, and then Ed Christopher is going to demo a little bit of using that tool, which is now live and online, so that's very exciting as of this last week. And then Kate's going to talk a little bit about next directions and where things can head from there. So I'm going to see if the technology is simple enough. And then as far as disclosure, we need to read these out. So I'm Ann Steedley, and I have no relationships to disclose. I don't know if I need to read the whole sentence, but the following personal financial relationships with commercial interests relevant to this presentation existed during the past 12 months. No relationships to disclose. All right, so within my presentation, as I mentioned, I'm going to talk a little bit, building on what Bridget said about the background of the transportation and health tool, THT. You'll find that in both industries, we like our acronyms. Sometimes we have the same acronym for different things. And working through the language was a big part of this process. Talk a little bit about the development of the actual indicators. How did we get to these 14 indicators that you'll see in the tool? And the indicator profiles, which is, you know, it isn't just an indicator that gives you a number. There's a lot of information about what's the evidence base around that indicator, and how does it connect transportation and health. And then finally, part of the tool that we all find really exciting is once you identify your indicators and you figure out areas where improvement is needed, what are some strategies to make those improvements? I won't repeat what Bridget said, but I will just say that for the APHA, CDC, and USDOT to come together in this partnership at a very material level, creating this tool, it's a really big deal. At least in the transportation world, which is more my background, coming together in this way was a big deal within these agencies. So it's a real strong demonstration of a commitment, at least from the transportation side, to work towards these health issues and recognize those connections. The critical thing that was done in 2012 when they first came together was sort of establish vision and goals, and I'll go over what those are, but kind of outline what was the purpose of this tool going to be and what were we going to get from it. There's a paper-based write-up that, you know, included the profiles, and then ultimately there was the goal to have this web-based tool that would be released, and then there was the idea that in the future it could be improved upon and refined. So in looking at this big issue of transportation and health, we sort of looked at what are some of the major areas in which transportation and health connect. And I think some of these are more obvious than others. Obviously, travel safety, air pollution, and active transportation have gotten a lot of attention. But we also looked at things, Bridget mentioned the word equity. We looked at things like access. And what we mean here is not just access to, you know, active transportation, but access to parks, access to medical resources. You know, what is the overall access of community members and the equity of that access to opportunities to improve health and built environment and community design. You can have great sidewalks, you can have great active transportation corridors, but if they're not designed so that community members feel safe using them, we need to think about those elements of the built environment and do we feel safe getting out there and being active within our transportation system. So I mentioned that there was a goals and vision established, and it was split into two components. One was what was being achieved across the agencies. And really, you know, when you start thinking about a tool, people think, I'm going to get something where I can plug numbers in, I'm going to get something on the outside, it's going to kind of tell me the answer. But the goal for this tool is really pretty high level, and then folks who use it can then dig deep within the data. So a real big goal with this was to raise the awareness that had been raised at the high-level agency level across states, across metropolitan areas, across public health and transportation of these linkages, encourage that and foster that collaboration, and ultimately support more health-supportive decisions out of transportation. Within the tool design goals, the goals were that it would be fairly easy to use, that it would have an audience that was both transportation and health oriented, that it would have regional and state data. And you'll see in the tool, in most cases, we're able to have metropolitan and state data. There's some cases where that's not an opportunity that can occur, but in many cases there are, and that it be something that showed indicators or measures of how states and regions were doing, and that it have with it a component of strategy so that when you got that information, you ultimately could move forward with strategies for improvement, and of course that there be a strong evidence base for how all these elements were coming together. The selection process went over a fairly compressed period, 6 months, which in transportation is a fast time frame for getting something done, but we started with 190 indicators officially. I heard unofficially at one point there were 350 indicators originally considered. So I think it started with a whole universe. So the first step was actually working with a core set of subject matter experts, which was about a group of a half a dozen people from across the country who helped narrow that down and also come up with some pretty high-level categories: physical activity, safety, air quality, and access, which we mentioned earlier, and also looking at dimensions such as equity, and got it down to 67 indicators. From that point, and we were beginning to get involved in the project at this point, the goal was to take that great professional subject matter expertise and those opinions and create a very structured process for how indicators would be selected. When you see the final set, you might have some questions around, why this indicator and why not another indicator. But we went through a process of establishing evaluation criteria that would be used to narrow it down. And so we got it down to 34 indicators and went into expanded a couple of dozen folks in an expert panel workshop convened in Washington to get it down further. And ultimately, with that input, it was narrowed down to the 14 indicators you'll see in the tool now. That two-day workshop, just to mention, it was held in Washington. It brought folks from all over the country with expertise either in one of these four areas of interest that's shown on the screen. And it was a goal of having both transportation, public health, and related, like people who had land use expertise as well. And came out of that meeting not only making specific recommendations on the indicators, but also kind of commenting on how things should be categorized, which you'll see coming up next, and also gave input. There's a drawing on here where you kind of see the initial formation of what would go into the web design of the tool. So the categorization that seemed to make the most sense without it, it just seemed like a set of indicators that was unorganized, was ultimately, while they're interconnected, we could identify and organize these indicators into transportation. So these are transportation indicators that may then relate to health, into health indicators that relate back to transportation, and into policy indicators as well. And you'll see there's some in there where, seatbelt use was one that got a lot of debate about where did it really place, but it got put in policy ultimately because, seatbelts and certain regulations are, really a policy decision that comes down within the federal and state levels. So that got categorized into policy. But if you think about the other two sets, like complete streets and use of bike ped funds, those are policy decisions that result later in maybe transportation projects through those expenditures or through those policies that then lead to health outcomes in the end. So the idea is these are interrelated, but some of them start at that formation of policy and some of them get at that output of the ultimate health outcome. And I won't go through all of these, but Ed will demonstrate the online tool, and the link is live, so after the meeting you can go to it, you can dive into any of these indicators, but I'll just cover a few highlights, which is that on the far right-hand column you see that there is a geographic scale. As I mentioned, the goal was to have state or metro level information. Some cases that's metropolitan statistical area, in some cases it's urbanized area, but in some cases, as you see at the bottom here, person miles traveled by mode, only data was available at this point in time at the state level. So that didn't necessarily kick an indicator out. Each indicator is defined, and there's a clear information on there about what the data sources are. Definitely some core data sources were used: the American Community Survey and the Census, the National Household Travel Survey, Federal Highway Statistics. There were also specialized areas of information like the American Public Transit Association, Public Transportation Association, Public Transportation Factbook. And even things, we had some things, as we mentioned, land use was recognized as an important component. And originally this indicator was actually walkability, and there was a lot of struggle around how that indicator was designed. So it was ultimately determined that the land use mix kind of better represented the opportunities for active transportation and walking, and that's an EPA, it's in their smart location database, which is a very interesting data set. Health indicators, the fatal analysis reporting system encyclopedia, and the American Community Survey. And then finally, the policy indicators. Just something to mention about the policy indicators is that these in particular, agencies may find more of a challenge to use, like, you know, complete streets policies. It's yes or no, do you have it or do you not have it? But the policy indicators were intentionally included by the experts and the agencies in this because the policy indicators are part of raising awareness. If complete streets can support health outcomes, then having complete streets here is an indicator in raising that awareness in metro areas and at the state level as to whether you've got complete streets policies in place is really important from a dialogue standpoint between health and transportation and local planning professionals. And similarly with the use of federal funds for bicycle and pedestrian efforts. This doesn't tell you the quality. It doesn't tell you whether people are widening a road lane to allow bicyclists on street. It doesn't tell you whether they're building sidewalks or what they're doing, but it starts to tell you the degree of investment in bicycle and pedestrian facilities and raise that conversation. When you go online, you'll find that you can find not only an interactive map where you click and you find the data for your metro or your state area, but you'll find that you can read a lot more about the indicators, really understand what went into that data. Each one includes, you know, an overall description, an understanding with some evidence base of the connections between that indicator and transportation and health, more about the data sets that are in there, whether it's American Community Survey or others, and then some description on policy implications or directions moving forward, and a whole host of references if you really want to dig in and go further. And an important component is related strategies that you'll then find information on in the transportation and health tool. So finally, I'll talk a little bit about the strategies which are encompassed in the transportation and health tool. And it could have just been that a tool that has these indicators and has these data and sends folks off to take this information back, chew on it, and kind of figure out where do we go from here. But the American Public Health Association, CDC, and DOT, the whole team felt that that wasn't enough. This really needed to be more of a toolkit or a toolbox where you could go here, find out that information, and really start to learn more about how you could impact health outcomes through transportation and related strategies. So similarly, as with the indicators themselves, started out with a big universe of potential strategies. Every member of the team had great ideas to bring to the table, started out with 150 strategies. Just in compiling all that information, we were able to eliminate, about 35 just redundant. They really were the same thing, stated differently. And ultimately went through a process, in this case, consultation with the team, and got it down to 25 strategies selected by the partner agencies that they felt were the strongest. And in this case, again, similar to the indicators, it was, not just a strategy that has been written up in one location, someone thinks it's a good idea. It was what strategies, and this was one of the criteria that was actually used in that narrowing process. We had a screening criteria for that as well, was, does it really have a strong evidence base? Another thing that was a screening criteria was, is this strategy, what's the degree of impact? So the greater the scope of the impact, whether it's geographic or just kind of the level of impact a strategy could have, the higher it ranked, and that's how we came up with the 25 strategies. And again, the idea was this would become part of the online tool, not just the write-up of the strategies, but the online tool. And here you see the 25 strategies. You'll have time to explore it when you go to the website. But one thing I would just mention is that while this is the intersection of transportation and health, even those strategies here that can be driven more by the health community, such as encouragement and promotion of biking and walking or safe routes to school, those rely as well on the transportation system and the transportation decisions. If you're going to encourage safe routes to school and have a walking school bus and all of that, you need those safe pathways to school. You need the infrastructure in place to make that a safe trip. For encouragement programs, you want to encourage folks, you want to make sure that your sidewalks are in place, that your crosswalks are there, that your off-street pathways are there. So almost all of these indicators really integrate and do tie back to a transportation or a land use decision. Again, in the online tool, you'll find a wealth of information. I personally think that one of the more interesting part of the strategies is the case studies that really show these strategies in action. So again, there's a cross-reference here. We show which health indicators, THT indicators, it could relate to. We show where you can go and learn more about this strategy and have a list of resources. And again, that evidence base for how's the strategy been demonstrated in practice. That's really it. Great. My portion of the presentation, and Ed will kind of show how that
Don't
all worked
yet.
In the tool.
Don't leave yet.
Okay.
So any quick questions on, Ed's going to walk us through what the tool is and how to use it and what it looks like, but any quick questions on the indicators, the elements within the tool, the strategies for Ann before we jump into the, we don't have mics, so just speak up.
Sorry, this isn't that well-formed of a question. I'm wondering, as a strategy, this idea for a major medical center, and my idea is to get free bus passes to our workers who don't make that much money, because our public transit, other than I can say I'm the smallest city, and the poor people are riding buses, but then they don't use passes. It's like a 30-day pass. So it's like, I guess, how do you get people to do the behavior? How do you incentivize them? You know, where is there any of that type of things I can find?
I need to look. I think that Expand Public Transportation cast a pretty wide net. If you remember, there were 115 strategies that worked down to 25, but we didn't eliminate 90 necessarily. Some of them were consolidated. So I know that on public transportation there was there is a component of investment and expenditure, but I believe there was also a component of programmatic things like passes and incentives and such. If it's not on there, you can contact us following the presentation. There were some resources that we collected that may be of use.
That's a good segue into Ed's talk, because not only can you go in and use the tool to assess your situation, you can also go in there and see these resources to figure out things you want to do to address the challenges. So it's a multifunctional tool in that way. So why don't we jump in?